And that's one of the things about religion that we have to remember when we're talking about that makes it such a hot topic issue is because we're talking about law. Who gets to be God? Who gets to be God's deputies? Who is the Most High? Who is the divine authority? It's all about the claim to the Most High. The only way that somebody can be higher than us is if we give away our power. Because there's nobody, we're all equal. But we're not equal in our knowledge, so ultimately, I think it does have to be a hierarchy, but it has to be a cooperative hierarchy, like a bee colony. It's about what our value system is, what we care about.
Hello, Hive Mind. Today is July 23rd, 2020. I am your host, Nate Kapp, joined by co-host Brandon Martin. Welcome to the 13th Cubbyhole Podcast, where important topics are unveiled, discussed, and tested. Our website is cubbyhole.com. That's CubbyHole.com. On this show, we will be reading and demonstrating the governing principles of natural law. Brandon, thanks for being on the show again, man.
You're very welcome, Nate. You're very welcome, Nate.
That was amazing little pause there.
That's because I had you on mute and I had to say it twice.
That's cool. No, that's all good. All good.
Thank you for having me back on to the Cubbyhole Podcast, and I'm excited to get into these principles with you, Nate.
Yeah, man. This is definitely some of the goods of understanding natural law. So before we go any further, what is a principle? You know, let's first understand that word, principle, and where it comes from, which, you know, in Latin, the noun principia means first, foremost, leading, chief, and most necessary. So basically, principle or principles means first things, like first things first. And this is something that I feel does not seem to be understood by most people. And you'll know when people aren't principled because they get caught up in the effects or trivial things in life. They don't show signs of care about first things, aka principles. So principles are that which is most important. And why is this? Why would principles be more important than family or friends or relationships? And I know that sounds a little cold, but the reason is because without principles, relationships fall apart, friendships, anything with the family. If you don't have the principles, you don't have a sturdy foundation to grow from. So, natural law is governed by principles. These principles don't require belief, and more importantly, they are definitely meant to be understood and then applied. Brandon and I are going to read these seven principles off, plus the eighth hidden principle. Understanding these principles grants a master key through which universal wisdom can be unveiled or de-occulted. These principles are in order, starting with the principle of mentalism, which is the first principle. The second principle is the principle of correspondence. The third is the principle of vibration. Fourth, the principle of polarity. Fifth, the principle of rhythm. Sixth, the principle of cause and effect. Seven, the principle of gender, plus the hidden eighth principle, which is the generative principle, which we will cover at the end. These principles are discoverable and part of the sacred high science, which I feel is best referenced in the book called The Kybalion by the Three Initiates. In the Kybalion, these principles are known as the Hermetic principles. And Hermetic in the sense of secret, sealed, or so that nothing can escape. Hermetically sealed means binding principles that are immutable, like natural law. And Hermetic comes from Hermes, the scribe of the gods known as Hermes Trismegistus, or the Thrice Great, also known as the Master of Masters. He was the father of the occult wisdom, the founder of astrology, and the discoverer of alchemy. The Egyptians deified Hermes and made him one of their gods under the name of Thoth as the messenger of wisdom, and later was called Hermes, the god of wisdom, by the ancient Greeks. So, when the student is ready, the teacher appears.
Yes, Hermes is one of my favorite archetypal, you know, characters when it comes to the Egyptian and the Greek mythology. He is related to Mercury, which is an alchemical element, but also it is the closest planet to the sun, which means that he is the messenger of the truth, because the sun is symbolic of the truth, or God, or the divine knowledge, or the light. And he is the closest to the sun, which spins the quickest around the sun. So, you know, he's the one who delivers the message down to the other planets, including us. And so that's why he's associated with angelic properties, usually being with wings. So you get characters like in Marvel, or I mean, actually characters like in DC, Flash, who has the lightning bolt, which is very symbolic of the Kabbalah, the lightning bolt path. And he also has wings on his shoes or on his helmet in a lot of depictions of Flash. And that's Quicksilver. Also in the Marvel universe, you have Quicksilver. And Quicksilver is also associated with alchemical transmutation and things of this sort. So Hermes is the messenger of what I like to call green language and natural law, because he brings the Emerald Tablets. He is the reader and the scribe of the Emerald Tablets. And the Emerald Tablets are the occult workings of the universe, the occult workings of the self. And what I mean by that is the hidden sciences that are discoverable and knowable by spiritual beings here. He's also symbolized with the caduceus, which is the medical symbol of the double helix serpents that are going up around the rod with the feathers and the wings at the top of the rod. So that's about the kundalini energy raising into its highest aspect, taking something from the low and raising it into the high, the serpent becoming the eagle, like the eagle swooping down and picking up the serpent off the ground, like the ancients would see it in the past, or totemic societies and totemic people would see it. And when that happened, it would be symbolic of raising consciousness from a lower place into a higher place. So that's symbolic of enlightenment and becoming aware, self-aware, becoming in tune and aligning with that which is. So you'll see that Hermes, like Nate said, is the Egyptian deity Thoth, and that is a bird, obviously. I think it's a stork, what's that bird
it's
called?
A water,
Nate? Do you remember?
It's a waterfowl.
Waterfowl. That's right. It's the waterfowl. So you'll often see Hermes symbolized with the waterfowl, and then you'll also see him symbolized with a dog or a companion. But in the Egyptian mythology, it's a waterfowl. That's the anthropomorphic archetypal symbol that they use for Hermes. And then moving into the Greek, you have man's best friend, which is the dog. So I feel like the messenger becomes man's best friend because it associates the idea that man's best friend is that which teaches us the principles of natural law, that which teaches us the principles of the universe and of ourselves. So the principles of truth are seven. He who knows these understandingly possessed the key, the magic key before whose all touch the doors of the temple fly open. I think I said that wrong, but that's a Kybalion quote. The principles of truth are seven. He who knows these understandingly possessed the magic key before whose touch all the doors of the temple fly open. That's what it is. And what this is talking about is the seven hermetic principles. And this can also be related back to the Vedic tradition of the seven chakra system. And we talk a lot about the seven here on the Cubbyhole because it directly has to do with the stellar cult and the mystery schools when it comes to the seven. So the seven is very important to understand. So I'm very happy to actually start to explain a few of these principles here. So I'm going to start off and explain the principle of mentalism for people. And I hope this helps people to understand how the universe works when it comes to how we create things and how we get the conditions that we are getting and how we can get the conditions that we say we want. So the principle of mentalism states, the all is mind. The universe is mental. This principle embodies the truth that the all is mind. It explains that the all, which is the substantial reality underlying all the outward manifestations and appearances which we know under the term of the material universe, the phenomenon of life, matter, energy, and in short, all that is apparent to our material senses, is spirit or is mental, which in itself is unknowable and undefinable, but which we may be considered and thought of as a universal, infinite, living mind. It also explains that the phenomenal world or universe is simply a mental creation of the all, subject to the laws of created things, and that the universe as a whole and in its parts or units has its existence in the mind of the all, in which the mind we live in, move, and have our being. So, this principle, by establishing the mental nature of the universe, easily explains all of the varied mental and psychic phenomena that occupy such a large portion of the public's attention, and which, without such an explanation, are non-understandable. So, what this is saying is that we cannot really make sense of the world that we're living in without doing it through the mind, without understanding the principle of mentalism. And understanding of this great principle of mentalism enables an individual to readily grasp the laws of the mental universe and apply the same to that well-being and advancement of our beings and of our society. So, you know, this really is the first thing that we need to get a grip on, is that all things are created from the mind. Causality is mind. So that's what this is explaining, that the causal cause of all things is a collective mind, an intelligent mind, and that we are all connected to one consciousness, one source consciousness. And we express ourselves fractally through existence, through this one great mind, the all, if you just want to simplify it. So everything that is taking place is a manifested result, is an effect of the mental aspects of the universe, which I would define as, you know, the one consciousness, like I said. But when you understand this, you can really start to grasp and take hold of how you're creating things in the world. So one thing is, can you create something without first doing it in the mind? Well, no, we cannot. And that should say a lot about this principle in a simple way, that nothing can be created without mind. And we must be mindful of how this principle gives us our power back to be able to create something that's different than what we're receiving right now. which is that of slavery and tyranny and suffering. So if we want to create something of peace and love and harmony, then we have to use our mind, which is connected to the higher case mind, which would be the all. So when I say like our mind, I mean our monad individuated consciousness as a small, you know, finite being is connected to the infinite being of the all. As we start to come into union and not be in segregation or separation from the higher mind, the collective mind, then we can really start to use that to our advantage to create something good. And we can start to use our imagination to imagine a different result and then use our willpower to actually create a different result. So this kind of goes into something that I talk about every once in a while, which is the guts, the heart, and the mind. We have to have the guts to do what needs to be done. We have to have the care, which is the heart, to do it right and do it morally. And then we have to have the mind to give us the ability to create the things that we need, to see the things that we need, to imagine a different way or a new way, and to really look at all the potentials and how these potentials can manifest, and then choose a potential and go down that path to manifest that. And that's what I mean by being united in our task. Without understanding this first principle, we do not have an understanding of how the universe works. We do not have an understanding of how we work as sentient beings here, and where we come from. So this principle, I feel, is one of the crucial, that's the most crucial, that's why it's number one. So do you have anything to say on that, Nate?
Yeah, that was very well said. And I think, you know, it's always really important to remember that our thoughts are what is, you know, measured in our emotions. And so our thoughts and emotions are the drivers for the actions or the behaviors that we have, that we manifest into the world in every way possible, that any way that we are, any way that we behave in the world. This is what has to be understood, is this first principle of mentalism. It's what has to be understood, especially because it's the principle that is going to help you grasp the rest of the principles. And, you know, that's right. Why these principles are in order.
I like to associate it with the master key, right?
Right.
It's the master key, the hermetic master key that unlocks all the doors in the temple. So with this, I mean, all of them are keys, but the principle of mentalism is the master key. And he who grasps the truth of the mental nature of the universe is well advanced on the path of self-mastery. So this is what we're talking about here. We're talking about self-mastery. We're talking about, you know, how to master thyself and utilize the tools that we have access to in the universe to create a better universe. Because, I mean, once we're done creating freedom here on Earth, we have to expand. You know, we're going to expand outwardly, and we need to be able to take this into the cosmos. You know, we need to be able to spread this all the way out and create infinitely into the universe to create freedom all over the place, to spread intelligence as wide and as far as possible, because we do have that gift to be able to create such a beautiful, beautiful condition if we live in harmony with the principles, you know.
Right.
And that's why when you were talking about principle as that which comes first, that's why truth is that which comes first, you know. Truth is the first principle. And to understand truth, you know, one must understand the principle of mentalism, because they are corresponding together, because the principle of mentalism is not only that which could manifest, but it's that which has already manifested, which is that which is. It is that which has occurred in the past and is happening currently in the present. So without the master key, mastery is impossible, especially self-mastery. And the student knocks in vain at the many doors of the temple. So, you know, they will get no answer back from the universe without the master key. So with the master key in our possession, the student may unlock the many doors, you know, like I said, of the mental and psychic temple of knowledge. And that's what we really need to do. And this principle explains the true nature of energy and power and matter, and why and how these are all subordinate to the mastery of mind. And we can also relate this principle to the crown chakra in the Vedic understanding. So it's the highest of the high within the being's chakra system. And it has to do with unity, awareness, and the creation or the universe of things, you know, the creation of the universe. So,
right. It's the true sense of we're all in this together.
Right. That's completely right. And I like to say that it's about getting away from illusion, the illusions of mind. I mean, that's what this whole show to me is about, is getting out of the illusion. Stop lying to ourselves, you know, right. to start to speak the truth no matter what, to be unwavering when it comes to our resolve, when it comes to defending the truth, and to understand the natural law principles that allow us to be able to, you know, live in harmony with each other, to actually show kindness and you know, build without infringing upon any sentient being in the entire cosmos. Because, you know, if there's other sentient beings out in the cosmos, we need to go in contact with them. I mean, you know, not that I'm, you know, saying that we're going to do that anytime soon, or I'm just saying as a potential or whatever, then you know, we need to not be infringing upon any sentient beings. So for those who do concur with interdimensional beings and, you know, extraterrestrials and things like that, I mean, these principles are very important to have, because not only will it give us the power to defend against any kind of foreign, you know, violence, but also it will give us the principles to be able to spread the knowledge of how we create freedom and how we create a society of love, a society based in love.
Right. It's about understanding that we have the power to build heaven on earth. And we also have the power to build hell on earth. So yeah, the principle of mentalism is very, 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 very important. And the second principle is correspondence, which I find to be one of the most amazing things you could ever understand. Because it is one of the most neat things you could ever see within yourself that you see in the universe. So the principle states that as above, so below, or so in, what is that is above is likened to that which is below, and that which is below is likened to that which is above. And I wanted to say that a little better, but this principle embodies the truth that there is always a correspondence between the laws and phenomena of the various planes of being and life. The old Hermetic axiom ran in these words: as above, so below, as below, so above. And the grasping of this principle gives one the means of solving many a dark paradox and hidden secret of nature. There are planes beyond our knowing, but when we apply the principle of correspondence to them, we are able to understand much that would otherwise be unknowable to us. This principle is the universal application and manifestation on the various planes of the material, mental, and spiritual universe. It is a universal law. The ancient Hermeticists considered this principle as one of the most important mental instruments by which man was able to pry aside the obstacles which hid from view the unknown. So, you know, we're going to definitely be getting into the occult. Its use even tore aside the veil of Isis to the extent that a glimpse of the face of the Egyptian goddess might be caught. Just as a knowledge of the principles of geometry enables man to measure distant suns and their movements while seated in his observatory, so a knowledge of the principle of correspondence enables man to reason intelligently from the known to the unknown. studying the monad, he understands the archangel. So the universe is basically holographic and also lives within us, the individual. The universe and the individual are basically just micro and macro reflections of each other. It's really, you know, to me, it's like one of the most beautiful displays of nature's spiritual mirrors. You know, that's what I like to call it. And once we know and understand the inner workings of ourselves, then we have the key to better understand the universe. And it works similarly with the learning. When we are learning the universe, we can learn about the consciousness in the individual. So both cannot be separated. They definitely work as one. What this principle reveals in such a beautiful way is it reveals the occult or the hidden knowledge of the universe. So the individuated consciousness is how the microcosmic world works, and then the macro cosmic world is natural law. And that's really, really important to understand. So let me just say that one more time. The individuated consciousness is how the microcosmic world works, and then the macrocosmic world is natural law. Also, another way to understand is through observing similar fractal patterns and things, like the calyx swirl on someone's head resembles a hurricane, which resembles a galaxy, which also looks like a artichoke flower or some kind of, you know, like an aloe plant. You can check out a really cool short video called Powers of 10, which really demonstrates the principle very well. And it's basically it's like a long shot, like one shot video of zooming all the way out into the cosmos and then zooming all the way into, you know, all the way back into, you know, like where it's zooming down on Earth and all the way down onto the land, into a person laying down on the ground, into their hand, like into the cells of their hand at the subatomic level. It's really, really cool. And does a great job of showing how it's self-similar across all scales. And that's really, really fascinating. One more thing I wanted to say is there's a really awesome quote that I think describes this very well by one of the greatest philosophers of all time, Alan Watts. And he says, "You are a function of what the whole universe is doing, the same way that a wave is a function of what the whole ocean is doing." And I think that really sums it up.
That's beautiful.
What the principle of correspondence is.
Yeah, I completely agree. The principle of correspondence to me is the first thing that has happened to the collective self once it becomes self-aware. So when the being that we could call the one great spirit, the mind, you know, coming off of the idea of the one collective mind, the all, when it becomes self-aware, now we have correspondence. And like you said, it's a mirroring. It's about reflectiveness of, you know, self-knowledge, of self-awareness. And that happens fractally, like you're talking about, how everything is self-similar. And this is where we can get more understanding about how our intelligence works also. Because without self-reflection, then how can we truly say that we could ever be intelligent beings? How could we be sentient beings? How could we be conscious beings? Well, we can't. So this principle is foundational for our level of consciousness to come into manifestation. You know, I mean, I think you said it the best, but one more thing I can add in here is that the correspondence principle is directly related to the third eye. And that does play into what I was just speaking about with self-reflection and looking at the truth and perceiving reality as it is and aligning our perceptions with reality. And I know that can be very difficult for a lot of people because everybody thinks perception is reality, but it's not. It's a component of reality, and it's a tool for you to be able to align to that which is. But correspondence is also one of my favorite principles. Not that there should be a favoritizing of any of these principles, but we use it so much, you know. And considering that Hermes is the you know, second, it's the first planet that's the closest to the sun. So we could look at Hermes as correspondence, the one who brings correspondence, the messenger of the gods, you know, mm-hmm. because without that reflection, without that observation, then we would gain no knowledge. We would have no ability to understand anything about who we are or about the realm in which we live, because we're living in a giant body, in a way, a giant mind, like the first principle states. And it's fractally self-reflective. So, you know, I mean, there's endless wonders here for us to discover. Just because we understand natural law or these seven principles doesn't mean that somehow we've perfected all of our knowledge and there's no more mysteries for us to find
exactly.
out. Well, that's ridiculous, right?
Right. Yeah. And, you know, and one of the really awesome correspondences that I've ever come to understand was, you know, Mark Passio did a really awesome presentation that I ended up kind of using that information and expanding on it, which is the Earth brain. And I think it's really, really cool and fascinating and, you know, very important to say the least, is that our brains are literally a direct correspondence, a direct mirror of the Earth, you know, because when you understand, you have two hemispheres of your brain and there's two hemispheres of the Earth, you know, especially when you're talking about the North Pole and the South Pole. And then you talk about, you know, what we're going to get into in the next principle, which is the principle of polarity. And anyway, like, it's a very, very big eye-opening correspondence, and I'm not going to get into it here, but I definitely highly recommend you check out the work of Mark Passio with the Earth Brain. And also, I did my presentation called Earth Brain and the Corresponding Symbolism, and we both get into some really deep, important correspondences that really help us understand the world that we live in at a very, very deep level, and it's definitely occulted information. So definitely check those out, and if you want to further your understanding, which I highly recommend, because it's a really powerful topic.
I completely agree with you. The next principle, though, is vibration, Nate.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so sorry. Well, you know, okay. It's coming up.
It is coming up. So one thing I can add in here is objects observed by the senses are reflected in the mind via imagination, charging the desire for moving and the will into action, generating vibration. A correspondence of the moving object in a polarized way, the effectiveness of the cause to generate the imagined result depending on how accurately the objects observed correspond to their images reflected within the mind. So I know that was a little bit of a mouthful and kind of a mental tangler, if you want to call it that, a mental gymnastics in a way there, but what it's just saying is that the more accurately we can come to understand things and reflect on these things, the more accurate we can create change, and the higher the vibrational rate will manifest. So the higher the vibration, the better the forms that will be created, pretty much. So go back to our episode about cymatics and understand how that works, and that's moving us right into the next principle, principle three of vibration, which I'm going to go ahead and define here for us. The third principle is the principle of vibration, which states nothing rests, everything moves, everything vibrates. And you know, this directly relates to cymatics, and I feel that we explain vibration very clearly when it comes to like how physical forms are created in our reality through vibration. So this principle embodies the truth that everything is in motion. Everything vibrates. Nothing is at rest. Facts, which modern science endorses, and which new scientific discoveries tend to verify over and over. This hermetic principle was enunciated thousands of years ago by the master of ancient Egypt, and or by the masters of ancient Egypt. So the ancient mystery traditions were embodying all these principles and advancing the understandings of these principles, which came down to us through the archetypal symbol of Hermes. This principle explains that the difference between different manifestations of matter, energy, mind, and even spirit result largely from varying rates of vibration from the all, or the mind, which is spirit, down to the grossest form of matter. All is vibration. The higher the vibration, the higher the position in the scale. The vibration of spirit is at such an infinite rate of intensity that the rapidity, the rapidness of that vibration is practically at rest. So it would look like a straight line, like a flat line to our perceptions. And at the other end of the scale, there are gross forms of matter whose vibration are so low as it seems to be at rest also. So it would also look like a flat line in this this example. So this is coming directly out of the book The Kybalion, which, you know, obviously we're recommending for all to read to understand natural law. If you want to understand natural law, you need to read this book. And we don't agree with everything in it. I can't necessarily speak for too many other people, but me and Nate did talk about this a little bit, so I can confirm that he said that he doesn't agree with everything in it either. So I'm not trying to speak for Nate here, but I don't agree with everything in it, but most of it I do agree with, especially when it comes to these principles. So cymatics is the best example I can give of the principle of vibration. I would recommend just searching cymatics in your YouTube browser, and you will come across all kinds of scientific experiments where they show how vibration creates forms, and vibration is coming from the source consciousness. It's coming from correspondence, which is also coming from the mind.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because Brandon and I are just reading these kind of like mid-size parts that we mostly agree with from the Kybalion. And it's very important to always, you know, keep your eye open for, you know, anything that might be a little bit off. I mean, I don't think that this book was like made with an agenda behind it to get people to believe a certain way, because it's one of the most open-minded books that I've ever read, because it's not really, telling you that you have to believe all these things. And obviously you shouldn't believe anything that you read. It's more about like just, you know, using your discernment and understanding where the falsehoods are or weeding them out. And, you know, as for the principle of vibration, it is one of the most, obviously all these principles, we'll say again and again, they're all equally as important, but to understand the principle of vibration is one of the most powerful things to ever understand, because, wow, holy shit.
Did you hear the thunder?
Did you hear the vibration of that?
There's a little vibration for you.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, here we go.
I want to add one more thing to the principle of vibration here, which is, you know, light, sound, consciousness, heat, electromagnetic fields, and life itself are all governed by the properties of waves, and waves are vibration. And when we understand wave potentials, like I think that studying quantum theory is a really good place for the newbie or the initiate to start out with, to kind of understand how waves work. But vibration is so important when it comes to understanding how everything in our world is created and how we generate things and what we're doing with, there's some heavy vibration for you, and what we're doing with our minds and what we're doing with our own vibrations, right?
Yeah, the thunder coming to this section of our show is pretty synchronistic, I'd say.
I would agree with that.
It's interesting because it is one of the most, like, it's something you definitely understand to be vibrational. It's something you can feel the vibration of thunder, to where, you know, there are vibrations happening at the most, you know, subatomic level that you're not seeing and you're not feeling, you're not hearing. So it's completely out of your senses. And the principle of vibration is the energy that you are emitting is the energy that you're going to receive. And it goes back to what I was saying in podcast number 9, where I'm talking about the measurement of the intelligence of the universe and how, you know, like, you know, the actions, the vibration, the negative or the positive vibration is constantly being measured intelligently by the universe. So to understand the principle of vibration is to understand that the energy that you are emitting is being intelligently measured, and it will be shown to you whether a negative consequence or a positive consequence.
Absolutely. Very well said.
So, moving on to the principle of polarity. Everything is dual. Everything has poles. Everything has its pair of opposites. Like and unlike are the same. Opposites are identical in nature, but different in degree. Extremes meet. All truths are but half-truths. All paradoxes may be reconciled. And that's straight out of the Kybalion. This principle embodies the truth that everything is dual. Everything has its two poles. Everything has its pair of opposites. All of which were old Hermetic axioms. It explains the old paradoxes that have perplexed so many, which have been stated as follows. Thesis and antithesis are identical in nature, but different in degree. Opposites are the same, differing only in degree. The pairs of opposites may be reconciled. Extremes meet. Everything is and isn't at the same time. All truths are but half-truths. Every truth is half false. There are two sides to everything, etc., etc., etc. It explains that in everything there are two poles or opposite aspects, and that opposites are really only the two extremes of the same thing, which many verifying degrees are with many verifying degrees between them. To illustrate, heat and cold, although opposites, are really the same thing. The difference is consisting merely of degrees of the same thing. Look at your thermometer and see if you can discover where heat terminates and cold begins. There is no such thing as absolute heat or absolute cold. The two terms, heat and cold, simply indicate verifying degrees of the same thing. And that same thing, that's what's manifested as heat and cold. It's merely a form, variety, and rate of vibration. So heat and cold are simply the two poles of that which we call heat, and the phenomena attendant thereupon are manifestations of the principle of polarity. The same principle manifests in the case of light and darkness, which are the same thing, the difference consisting of verifying degrees between the two poles of the phenomena. Where does darkness leave off and light begin. So where does darkness leave off and where does light begin? What is the difference between large and small? Between hard and soft? Between black and white? Between sharp and dull? Between noise and quiet? Between high and low? Between positive and negative? The principle of polarity explains these paradoxes, and no other principle can supersede it. The same principle operates on the mental plane. Let us take a radical and extreme example that of love and hate, two mental states apparently totally different. And yet there are degrees of hate and degrees of love, and a middle point in which we use the terms like or dislike, which shade into each other so gradually that sometimes we are at a loss to know whether we like or dislike or neither. And all are simply degrees of the same thing, as you will see if you will but think a moment. And more than this, and considered of more importance by their hermeticists, it is possible to change the vibrations of hate to the vibrations of love in one's own mind and in the minds of others. Many of you who read these lines have had personal experiences of the involuntary rapid transition from love to hate and the reverse in your own case and that of others. And you will therefore realize the possibility of this being accomplished by the use of the will, by means of the hermetic formulas. In short, the art of polarization becomes a phase of mental alchemy, known and practiced by the ancient and modern hermetic masters. An understanding of the principle will enable one to change his own polarity as well as that of others, if he will devote the time and study necessary to master the art. And that all comes from what I just read was straight from the Kabbalion. So when it comes to the polarity of knowledge and ignorance, are they really the same thing? Yes, they are very much the same thing, because truth is always present. It's a matter of whether it's taken in and processed, or it's refused to be taken in and it's not processed. It's about understanding that they are identical in their nature, but different in their degree.
That was very well said, and we have some heavy thunder coming in, which is pretty intense for this section of the podcast, which right. I find very synchronistic. But polarity is extremely important to understand. We were talking about polarity when it comes to the functionalities of the left and right brain and of consciousness, right? Of masculine and feminine attributes. But I think polarity is something a lot of people don't have a very good grip on, that they don't really understand what you mean by things like polarized dialectics, what you mean by having somebody in a polarization. So whenever somebody is polarized, it means that they have been divided within. You know, it's us versus them, right? Something along those lines. And through understanding this principle, we can reconcile the way that our ego is taking our consciousness into these negative places in our minds and what we're doing with that consciousness. So you could also call it dualism, you know. So I talked about being in internal dualism, which is where you don't want to be. You want to be in internal unity, because everything is seemingly dualistic, but the underlying energy is a singular thing. So everything is seemingly polarized, but the underlying energy is of the same thing, you know, like you were talking about with hot and cold. There's only one energy underneath of that, and it's the measurement of how intense that energy is that determines whether it's hot and cold. And you really can't put a finger on where things become hot and where things become cold, like the exact pinpoint, you know. And that's right. The same with light and darkness. They are varying degrees of the same energy. So this does directly have to do with wavelengths and vibration. And that's why this is the fourth of the principles, because it's a manifestation of the three previous into a new form in reality. So I think that's very right. important to understand. Do you have anything else you want to add on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, and just to like, we've already touched on, I believe you touched on it in earlier shows, is the principle of freedom. You know, so if you understand that freedom means to be free of any rulers and to not be ruled by another, and then you understand that, you know, slavery is to be ruled by someone and to be enslaved, well, those are two poles of the same thing. So the more moral a society becomes, the more that society becomes free, and the more immoral that society becomes, the more that society becomes enslaved. And so when you really start to understand polarity, then you start to see how enslaved most of this world is, and maybe even yourself. So it's very important to apply these principles. And this one, I think polarity is really one of the most powerful as far as applying this principle to all things. Everything in the whole universe has its dualistic polarities. And we're going to further get into that as we go along in these principles.
Absolutely. I think another thing that we can add in is it helps us to understand how we're manipulated. It helps us to see through mind control techniques, because it's always about splitting us into two. You know, it's always about dividing.
Right.
That's what mind control is all about, is about dividing the mind to create a schism in the mind so that you are easily controlled. And if you can see that through the principle of polarity, then you can start to mend that. But also there's always going to be poles to everything, like you're talking about. But we do have to understand how that's part of the illusionary construct of reality. You know, that's the effect in reality, is to have a North Pole, a South Pole, you know, hot and cold. But the underlying essence is that of one thing, and that's what would be the mind, the mentalism, you know. So that's why it is manifested this way, because the mind manifests itself into two. And if you didn't notice, like, numerologically, we can look at the number four very symbolically of polarity when you start to break that down, because it is about twos, you know. It does have to do with twos, just like correspondence is about two things also, you know. But I don't know if you understood what I was saying there, but the way that I see that in my mind, I relate that back to twos, you know, when I think of four, like four corners, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And to really hammer home on that is, you have to understand, you cannot understand the one without the two. So it's about understanding both sides to understand the whole spectrum. And that's how we find balance. That's how we fine tune. That's how we get back to a balanced mind. Because, you know, like we said in the other show about the schisms, you know, we can definitely be on one side or the other, or completely, you know, on both, and then not be merged or unified in the middle to where we are one, where we understand that we are one, where we understand our connection. But then the reason that we understand that is because we do understand the two.
Right. So. Absolutely. Well said. That's pretty much what I was getting at with that.
If you want to, go ahead and jump right into rhythm, another important principle.
Right. So the next principle of the seven hermetic principles is the fifth principle, which is the principle of rhythm. This states everything flows in and out. Everything has its tides. All things rise and fall. The pendulum swing manifests in everything. The measure of the swing to the right is the measure of the swing to the left. Rhythm compensates. So, as you can tell, that these things are definitely all interconnected and have a relationship with each other. This rhythm has to do with vibration. Without vibration, you cannot have rhythm. So, to continue on here, this principle embodies the truth that in everything, there is manifested a measured motion to and fro, a flow and inflow, a swing backward and forward, and like I said, a pendulum-like movement, a tide-like ebb and flow, a high tide, a low tide, between the two poles which exist in accordance with the principle of polarity described a moment ago. There is always an action and a reaction, an advance and a retreat, a rising and a sinking. This is in the affairs of the universe, suns, worlds, men, animals, mind, energy, and matter. This law is manifest in the creation and destruction of the worlds, in the rise and fall of nations, in life of all things, and finally in the mental states of man. But that's the end of the principle of rhythm. And we find the principle of rhythm in things like music. You know, without rhythm, we have no flow within our creative process. We have no means to really express ourselves dynamically in our world. So music is the best example of rhythm that I can give. As a musician, I love to, you know, sit down and play my guitar and find the most harmonic and intimate rhythm that I can find that really brings out my soul to manifest into just beautiful musical patterns and fractal patterns all across the scales. So we find a rhythm in all things. We have a rhythm in our life. A lot of people are unconscious of the rhythm in their own life, and this can be their daily habits, their patterns, and, you know, the way that they do things here and there, the way that they go to what time they go to sleep, what time they wake up. There's always a rhythm that you can find, and when you start to open your mind and see the rhythm within your own behaviors, then you can really start to pinpoint where you want to change that rhythm, where you want to compose yourself a little bit better. You know, maybe you want to have more of a swing over here, which will create a swing to the opposite side, like the pendulum. So rhythm is extremely important, and it is within all things. There's a rhythm to the universe. There's a rhythm to the way the planets move. There's a rhythm to the way storms roll in and roll out. So whenever we start to open our eyes to this, this is the alchemical sight when we can see rhythm within nature, the rhythm of the trees, the way that the wind blows through the tree leaves. We can see rhythm in that, the way that dogs harmonize with each other when they're howling. There's rhythm in that. There's rhythm all around us. And I just find it very just mind-boggling and just eye-opening when we start to really correlate all the rhythms of our own lives, and we start to find what rhythm that we want to be in also. You know, like, we want to be in rhythm with the truth. You know, do we want to align ourselves with the truth, the rhythm of the universe, or do we want to align ourselves with rhythm that is, you know, destructive, the destructive rhythm of the world? So I just think that, yeah. You know, do you have something to say on that?
Well, speaking of rhythm, there's the rhythm of peeing, and I have to pee really bad right now. So we're coming up on the break, and we will be right back. So stay tuned. Well, that's actually the end of the show, guys. Thanks for tuning in and giving this information your time and attention. You can find more of our work here at cubbyhole.com. That's cubbyhole.com. There you'll find news, updates, videos, and much more. So we hope you found value here today, and please tune in to the next show where we go further into the Hermetic principles, including the principle of cause and effect, the principle of gender, and the lost principle, which is the principle of care. It is really important to watch these shows in order and not miss any shows, so that way you get the full picture and you have a better understanding of what we're trying to say and what the bigger message is here. So that being said, thanks for being on the show today, Brandon, and thank you all for listening. Have an awesome day.